Sometimes looking backwards is the best way forward. Lessons from the past can teach us how to thrive in the future. Local author Anna Lee Newitt says San Francisco's future is something we should start trying to protect right now. Newitt describes her book, Scatter, Adapt, and Remember, as an optimistic book about extinction. In it, she looks at how humans could deal with a catastrophe along the lines of what killed the dinosaurs. She says one thing we need is strong, resilient cities, and that San Francisco is a model for the world. In this interview from our archives, KALW's Casey Miner spoke with Newitz about adaptation, innovation, and what we can learn from the time local developers almost turned the bay into a landfill.
This was a real plan. This was what the city was going to do. They were going to fill the bay with landfill and cover it with houses because, just like now, there was a housing crunch. We needed room. They had already successfully used landfill to build out the marina, so we knew it could be done. And so why not? And conservation groups managed to organize partly by partnering with industrialists. And today you might compare that to, say, partnering with Google or some other very wealthy company in the area. So they partnered with industrialists, they lobbied politicians, they helped create grassroots organizations in the city to protest doing this, and as a result, we kept our bay. And that bay is now an incredible treasure trove of information for scientists about how to prevent climate change. It's interesting that not only is it, of course, a lovely example of building ecology and environmental concerns into a city, but also what we found in the last 10 years is that a lot of the bacteria living in the wetlands around the bay actually are incredibly great carbon sinks. And that's, of course, what we want to do. We want to get carbon out of the atmosphere and back down into the earth. And so there's a lot of scientists at Berkeley now who are studying this thankfully preserved area, looking for clues about, hey, could we use what we're learning from these bacteria to actually help draw carbon down out of the environment? So it's kind of had this long-term beneficial effect for both the people in the city and scientists. And I think that idea of combining city development with environmental concerns is very futuristic. Maybe we haven't done perfectly here in San Francisco, but we're certainly on the right path. And if you want to look at what's caused mass extinctions in the past and what may be causing one, you know, coming down the pike in the future, it's pretty much always been climate change. And here in the Bay Area, we have an incredibly thriving group of people innovating around green technologies and trying to think about how do we have more efficient solar cells? How can we create generators for solar fuel? How can we create better high-performance windows? How can we build our cities to behave more like a living organism and not have a carbon footprint that is any different from the actual environment around us? So I think that's another thing that makes the city particularly ripe for surviving into the future, as long as we don't sink into the water or have a catastrophic earthquake from which we can't recover.
We're speaking with Anna Lee Newitz. She's the author of the new book Scatter, Adapt, and Remember. And you're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Casey Miner. So, you know, we were talking about San Francisco as a hub for innovation and all these ideas, and it's also a place that a lot of people are having to leave for basically exactly that reason. And in the book, one of the things you mention is actually that historically cities tend to collapse when people don't have a certain amount of economic mobility and they have to go elsewhere. And so it was interesting for me to think of San Francisco as a blueprint for the future because on the one hand, it has all these characteristics that set it up really well for that future. But on the other hand, there is a certain amount of stagnation happening right now.
I'll say a few things to that. First of all, it is true that cities with an enormous income disparity are unstable. That looms over San Francisco as a question. How will we deal with the class divide? As we're looking toward the future, we need to be thinking about what kinds of basic services we think should belong to everyone. And right now, we're all pretty happy with the idea that, like, well, no matter how poor you are, you shouldn't be deprived of heat and water and, you know, hopefully food. But although people seem a little confused about whether the poor actually need food, which is a little puzzling to me. But I think going forward, we need to start thinking about the fact that everyone should have a right to their own energy source. So as we start thinking more about solar or biofuel, thinking about people being able to do that, be living off the grid, essentially. We also need to start thinking about access to the information infrastructure. I was talking a lot before about how San Francisco is so great because we have all this science and technology that's being developed here. And then we also have neighborhoods where people have horrifically bad internet access or no internet access at all. And I think San Francisco really needs to be thinking about the idea that having access to that information should be a right for everyone. I think any sane plan for the future of our city has to take into account that we need to be making room, both technologically, but also just in terms of physical room for people from many different backgrounds, income backgrounds, but also for immigrants and, you know, people who have historically been kind of booted out of the city.
Say you were going to take San Francisco and you got to do whatever you wanted with San Francisco to make it a resilient city for the future, what would you change and why?
That is a really good question. If I were in charge of San Francisco, you know, there's a couple things that I would do. I think one of the really kind of bright lights in San Francisco's future, if it happens, is this idea of creating a transit hub downtown where we limit the number of cars that are available, but at the same time, beef up our public transportation enough that we make up for the loss of those cars. And if that can really work, I think that is exactly what I would hope for the future of the city. And I'd like to see more of that being done. And part of the thing that's really hopeful to me about that transit plan isn't just the idea of getting more public transit, which is, of course, crucial, but the fact that it also includes high-density housing. And I think in San Francisco, we have always been kind of weirded out by high density housing. You know, we like our pretty city. We like the idea of things being kind of no more than three stories high, except really right downtown in the financial district. And that has to change because the most sustainable way of living is to put a lot of people in one place where you can scale up the need for resources like electricity or water in a way that's much more cost effective. And it allows you to use a much smaller number of resources to get people the energy that they need, for example. So really, San Francisco of the future is going to have some megastructures in it. And the good news is that megastructures actually deal really well with earthquakes because you can build them to sway, which sounds terrifying, but is actually, in terms of engineering, really great. It means that the building kind of bends with the movement of the earth. That's what you want to have happen. And so I hope that our city can grow taller. I would really like our city to be totally carbon neutral. Imagine in the future these huge tall buildings that are fueled by solar or fueled by biofuels, solar fuels, whatever we wind up using, and where people are able to live in close proximity, but also because we have such high density, they can also enjoy things like public parks and public transit that takes them to places where they're not crammed into a building, because I know not everybody thinks that's the most awesome idea. Hopefully that would look beautiful. I can imagine lots of ways that it could go wrong, but I can also imagine a lot of ways where you could have just beautiful soaring buildings that are covered in solar panels and that that are covered in even gardens and plants. And I think that would be kind of where I'd want to see the city going.